Welcome to Horribly Perfect, where you find us in the middle of our second season. The theme is perfect individual seasons in sports. My name is Jimmy Napom, and with me is West and John D. How are you guys?
Good.
So before we begin, and before I probably disappear from this podcast, because I have like two things to talk about, I actually thought of some things. So if you remember from our first podcast, I wanted to come up with a name for myself, like a radio name or a podcast name. So I was thinking we actually need like a name for our group. So I have three group names. So I'm going to give you one at a time, and you guys tell me what you think, okay? The first one is John, Jim, and Company.
Kind of like that. I like the first part at least.
Westy shook his head no because we're doing an audio podcast.
No. What about me?
All right, so that's in the running. The second one is the Treacherous Three.
Okay,
I don't know how much treachery is going on, but okay.
And then the third one is the Perfect Posse. That's Posse West.
I like that.
All right. I like the first one.
No, you can't do that. No, that's not right. No.
All right, we'll have to leave this to the audience, right?
Yeah.
There's write-in candidates. Like, I'm sure three idiots is going to come up.
Three idiots, yeah.
We'll let the audience decide.
All right. So much for that. This week, John has the topic. So I'm going to throw it over to you, John, and Westy, and I'll sit back and try to absorb all of it. So, John, what do you have for us this week?
So last week, I couldn't take enough of a beating with the Expos talk. So I figured, let's bring it home and we'll talk about my favorite team and, one of my favorite players of all time in hockey. And that's the New Jersey Devils and Martin Brodeur's 06-07 season. Mm-hmm. So, just to sort of kick it off, the number that brought me to this topic was he started as a goalie 78 games out of 82 in that season, right? And this time of, if anyone knows hockey, right, there's a lot of 1A and 1B goalies playing half the season or a little more than half the season. So starting 78 games was such a ridiculous number that I couldn't avoid the season. Now there's a couple of other things going on here too, with his numbers and with the team, but that's where I was coming from. 78 starts and an 82 game NHL season for a goalie.
All right. So I get that. Yeah, I was thinking about that, right? When you say he, 78 of 82, that's preposterous, right? Because I think didn't he like the season before play 77 too or something like that? Like those, or the season after, it was like, he played out of 100 in two seasons out of a possible 164 games, he played like 158 of them, right? Which is crazy. The start of them, and then there's all this talk about, like you said, like how the goalies now are kind of splitting 1A, 1B. So I went back and I looked at like the start that the game started in the last few years, like last 10 seasons or so. And last year, Vasilevskiy led the league in 57 starts. Right, yeah. So that's obviously I think a big difference, obviously. But the year before was Saros from Nashville, who hit 64. Right, and then obviously we have a couple of those COVID shortened seasons. But before COVID, we had guys who were doing 67, 67, 73. So I was thinking, I think 78 is crazy, but I thought it would be a lot less than that. I thought it would be like 60 starts compared to his 78, right? Like, but guys are still playing 70 games, which is still kind of crazy to me. Because I thought the same thing you said.
Right, but the other thing was when I looked at it, right, he had nine straight seasons of 70 plus starts. Compounds that, and that's what I was saying. There's more, and the season before this nine straight season, he had 69 starts.
Right.
So I mean, it's just kind of how much he played overall. This was the top season, and in that season, he won the Vezina. He had a 218 goals against, 922 save percentage, 12 shutouts, which I thought was kind of cool. It's like 15% of his starts were shutouts.
Right.
50% of like the season was shutouts. And I laughed because the backup goalie, do you know who it was, West?
I do not.
It was Scott Clemenson. He went 1-1-2 for his year. And I'm like, did he play at all? And so besides those four games, he played in two other games where Brodeur got pulled, an 8-1 loss to Ottawa, where he gave up 6 goals, and a 7-2 loss to Carolina, where he gave up 4 goals. So the poor bastard only actually played in 6 games, 2 of them half games.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And in that, though, West, in that season, and Jim, as you're following along intently, he had 60 consecutive starts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So 60 games without a night off.
Wow.
Okay. That's crazy. Like that's insane, right? Like that's crazy. But I guess it kind of goes into the whole, I think it's a bigger argument too, as far as like all sports, right? Because it's kind of changed over the last 15 years, right? Where again, you know, I know I don't watch as much baseball as I used to, but I know pitchers aren't going 7, 8, 9 innings anymore, right? They're going 5, right? And
yep.
You know, if you look at like when we talked about Pedro last week, right? It was, you know, how many complete games did he have, right? And that's just not happening now. I think it's a sign of how things have changed from, you know, back in our day, you know. So
well, and to prove that point, so I look at like 60 consecutive starts. That seems like a ton, right? 60. And I looked up, Glenn Hall has the record, 502. That 60 was big, 502. I mean, it was a different time.
I assume they won. He won the Stanley Cup that year, and that's probably
no. Why. No, he won the Vezina for the best goalie. And this was one of my other things. I thought this would sort of be a way to bring this fun topic into the group. So the team was 47-24-8 with 3 games left in the season. They were leading their division. And the general manager decided it was time to fire the coach. So with 3 games left in the season, a team in first place fired their coach.
What is wrong with the organizations that you follow? I mean, we talked about the Expos selling everybody. What can you find a normal team?
So this is the thing. It's insane, right? But they asked GM Lou Lamoriello at the time, still in the league, GM of the Islanders now. They asked him, why the hell would you fire a first place coach with 3 games left in the season? And he said, and he's a big Yankees guy, and this is kind of a Yankees-like thing, right? I didn't think we were going to win a championship with Claude Julien as the coach. And if we're not going to win a championship, what are we doing?
Can't repeat it.
No, it was him. He took over.
Wait.
So the guy who fired the coach, the GM, then took over the coach for the playoffs?
Correct.
And they lost.
Yeah, in the second round.
And then Claude Julien went on to coach.
I think he won the Stanley Cup with the Bruins, didn't he?
Oh, see.
Yeah, I hated him.
Why don't you just follow the Bruins? It's so much easier. They're always – see, this is what I know about hockey. I know 2 things about hockey. Yep. Everyone on the Bruins is good.
Yeah.
Everyone who leaves the Bruins is not good, because if they were good, they wouldn't have left.
Right.
So just follow the Bruins. I mean, they're doing good. I haven't paid attention, but I assume they're doing really good this year.
So a buddy of mine asked me, right? He goes, what if the Bruins get a new coach? Like, if they get someone that you really like, would you become a Bruins fan? And I said, and I don't know how off this is. If they hired my 2 daughters, I don't think I'd be a Bruins fan.
Oh, yes.
I hate that team, that franchise, more than any in any sport, and it's not even close.
Well, I was going to ask a question for later, right? Because, again, I think, like, obviously, for fans who might not know, you know, John's allegiances to New England sports teams, I would love to know, we talked about the Expos last time, where did this Where did this loyalty to the Devils come from? I know it's the hatred out of the Bruins, but like, why the?
So, why the Devils? So, when I was a wee little kid, I went to a Bruins. My parents took me to a Bruins Colorado Rockies game. And Chico Resch was the goalie for the Rockies.
Chico Resch.
They lost like 10 to nothing. The Rockies were terrible. Mm-hmm. But when Chico was coming off the ice, he gave someone his stick. He just kind of gave it, like it was one of the first games I ever saw. And I thought that was the coolest thing ever. So I was, what, 6 years old, 7 years old, right? And I said, that is the coolest thing. I'm going to follow this team. And then when they moved to Jersey a couple years later, and then I really turned on the Bruins after that. Like, I hate them. I hate their ownership. I hate their fans. I hate everything about them.
I have to admit, that's probably the worst reason I've ever heard about liking a team. Like, the kid who actually got Chico Rush's stick,
yeah, no, I
did
know.
Not follow them to New Jersey, yep. Right?
thought it was the coolest thing. I was a young, impressionable child. I didn't know that things like that could happen. And it was like, oh, that's so cool.
Do we have any
I
stats?
Like that he did that.
Do we have any stats for Chico Rush?
Yeah, Chico won cups with the Islanders, I think.
Oh, did he?
He was No, he started with the Islanders. Sorry, he wasn't there then. I don't know. He was.
All right, but this is not the Chico Rush story.
No.
All right, so actually, to tell you the truth, I didn't know that story. Like, that's interesting. Because I know where the Expos story came from. I know why I like the Expos. I know why you like the Eagles. I didn't realize that that your love for the Devils goes back to the Colorado Rockies days and Chico Rush.
Yeah.
Interesting. We know each other, what, 30 years, 35 years? I didn't know that. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
What else?
It wasn't that list.
One. Probably, right? Oh, my God. What old, dude. Oh, 40 years?
That could be next season. John just tells us strange things about himself.
That you guys haven't figured out for 40 podcast. Years. Yeah.
Don't we know about John?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so, that was it.
So okay. I have three things. I have questions, and then I'm going to hand over to Wes because I think...
All right.
So, looking up, Brodeur won three trophies. The Vezina. Right, which is for what?
Best goalie.
Named after George Vezina. Did you know about this? So, a little deep dive into the Vezina trophy, right? It's in honor of George Vezina, a goaltender. This is what I like. A goaltender for the Canadiens from 1910 to 1925. He collapsed during a game during 1925, was diagnosed with having tuberculosis, and then he died.
Fitting tribute.
So they made the trophy after him. Like, it's like, ah, got TB, and then just keels over and dies. He was also, Vezina. Brodeur also was a five-time Williams M. Jennings. I like how the M is in there, because otherwise it'd be like, it could be any William. Yeah.
Any Bill Jennings.
Yeah. Williams M. Jennings trophy, and that's given to what? Who wins that?
The lowest goals allowed by a team is the best goalie tandem.
Right. A minimum of 25. And then he also won the Calder Memorial Trophy. Calder, I guess, is either his first name is either Calder Memorial or he has no first name. What's the winner of that for?
Rookie of the Year.
Huh?
Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. So instead of saying Best Goalie Trophy, Rookie of the Year Trophy, and they have these, that's what I love.
Yeah.
All right. So those are the questions I had about this. But I want to throw it to Wes. So Wes, do you agree with John?
Okay. So here we go. Right? John, I respectfully disagree as far as it was a great season, obviously a great season. And I agree with you. Martin Brodeur is probably the best goalie of all time, if not top two or three, right? Arguably. But, and he did win, I'm going to help you, he did win the Triple Crown that year, right? Led the league in goals against, led the league in save percentage, led the league in wins, right? So two things. One, during that run for the Devils, they almost ruined the game. Correct. You know that. Yes. We've had this argument before.
I'm going to turn it back on the Bruins. Go ahead.
No. The Devils in that trap that they play, that Lou Lamoriello trap, ruined the game.
Okay.
Go to a game to watch. People don't go to soccer because it's a nothing. No one likes soccer because it's a they run around for 90 minutes and it's nil-nil. So you're going to go to a hockey.
You mean,
and watch
them get
around to a 1-0 game, a 2-1 game every game. They almost ruined the game in that stupid trap, which is why they got rid of the red line. And you know it's true, right? And when you have a goalie who like is seeing 5 shots a game, he's going to save 5 shots a game. Like, again, I'm not taking anything away from Martin Brodeur. He's one of the best goalies of all time. But the your Devils almost ruined the game in that run. And you know it's true.
Okay, so this only applies in hockey and to the Devils, this defensive thing. When everyone talks about the 86 Bears and how great their defense is, everyone goes wild. They go crazy. Oh, my God, their defense is so great. It's awesome. Pitcher, we talk about the Braves staff with Smoltz and Maddox and Glapp. Oh, my God, they're throwing shutouts and striking everyone out. This is the best ever. Hockey team does it. The game is ruined. You're full of shit.
Apples okay. and
every other sport, there's good defense. Everyone gets excited. The Devils do it. Ruin the game. Yeah, that's right. The Bears, the 86 Bears ruin the game. Every time a guy throws a shutout in baseball, he's ruining the game.
In a football field that's 100 yards wide and 50 yards, 100 yards long, 50 yards wide, you can work around the 46 defense. You can figure out how to beat the 46 defense. When you have a sheet of ice that's 200 feet long, and how wide is it? 50 feet wide, whatever it is, yeah. Right? And you're clogging up the middle, and there's a red line there, and you can't your body can't cross the red line without the puck. And if it's offsides, back in the day when he was doing this, it's a completely different argument. It's apples and oranges, not the same argument.
So everyone blames the Devils for this, but you know where this came from.
It came from Lou Lamoriello.
No, it came from the Canadians. And that's how they won their championships. And sorry to break it to you, that's how you won yours. Who was your coach?
The guy that couldn't win a championship with your team.
Yeah, who was your coach? What did he do?
He won a championship.
Oh, but by doing what, West?
And that was when they changed the rules.
Claude Julien does the trap everywhere else. He comes to Boston, wide open, freewheeling 80s Edmonton hockey to win a championship. And then when he gets fired from the Bruins, he goes back to being a hockey ruining coach. For your championship, he was awesome.
The best thing they ever did was get rid of the red line because he got rid of that stupid trap that the Devils would play. And So, yeah, he's seeing 15 shots a game. He should stop 15 shots a game. He's an NHL goalie.
Yeah, I could say. Three is more than one, West. That's all I have to say.
Again, I'm not arguing that he's not one of the best goalies ever. I'm just arguing.
That's cute. And guys have had better single seasons. But like I said,
yeah, absolutely.
60 consecutive, 70 consecutive starts for 9 seasons.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Insane. And this probably wasn't even his best season, right? He's won cups. He's had lower goals against. He's had higher save percentages. But I like the 78 starts and the fact that they fired Claude Julien with 3 games left in the season in first place.
I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah. So did they actually win a cup after that? The years, if they fired Claude Julien because they said they'd never win a cup with him?
No. They wouldn't win a cup that year with him.
Oh, did they win one after or no?
No. No, they were done in 03. They got to one in 12 with, you know, the hollowed out corpse of Brodeur dragging them along 6 years later. But no, they've been a horrible franchise before the Cubs and after the Cubs. They've just been horrible.
Okay.
All right. So I do have a surprise for you guys. You ready for the surprise?
Yes.
All right. So as you know, Jake is a goalie, right? My son Jake. So he's not a huge reader, doesn't love to read. So I got him this book that I thought he would like to read it. And it was
Martin Brodeur Ruins Hockey. Wow.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is the book I got him to read. It's written by him and Damian Cox. It's got some pictures of when he was little. It's really good. It talks about like the idea of being a good teammate and what you have to do to you know, basically the mental part of the game. Cause you know, I wasn't a goalie, right. And I can't even skate. Right. So I have no idea what he goes through during a game. So it was really good for him to read like the, the mental part. So I do. I am a huge fan of Marty. I think he's. I think he's a. He's a. Like I said, he's. He's an awesome goalie. This book was helpful. But yeah, that was my surprise. See.
One quick thing about Brodeur, I read that he divorced his wife, and then because he had an affair with his brother's sister or brother's.
Yeah.
Was it?
No, her brother.
You.
Her brother's wife. What? Let's not get into that. Don't we have to wrap up?
We do. So I got two things. One, just it was the 85 Bears, not the 86 Bears. The second
the Super Bowl was in 86.
Yeah. Actually, I have three things. Three, sir. The second thing is so if anyone out there in the audience, I have no idea what West and John were arguing about. I just like when they argue. So that makes me happy. And the third thing is I have some listener mail, if you'd like to hear some.
Ooh.
Here's what we have. So this is from the Prince episode.
Ooh. So
I have two letters. One is from Andrew. Andrew's more of a note. Andrew noted that with all of our elevator talk, Prince actually was found dead in an elevator. So, yes. You guys aren't too excited about that.
Yeah. Well, the elevator was the star of that podcast.
So. Yeah, but it just
more elevator facts, please.
I don't know if it was ironic or not, but
that's loud.
And the second one we have is from Debbie in Maine, which is very. This is an interesting talk. I don't. Debbie may want to get help. I'm just going to read it as is, and you guys can. Here are my notes for your podcast. I agreed with. Buried first guitar solo. It's a dance song, so I'm assuming he didn't want to stop at dancing. I see that there's two different kinds of solos in the... It's kind of like a fish situation. So now we're going to talk about fish for the next 15 minutes. Some of Trey's guitar playing is mixed in with the band and gives them a great chance just to dance for it. And then there are times when Trey's guitar stands out and leaves us the opportunities to just put our hands to the top of our heads and marvel at his talent. We're back to Prince now. That's what Prince did for the second solo. I'm wondering why Dove's Cry didn't make it as the perfect song. What elements were missing from that? And then the three other random notes. Yes, there are three more random notes. Prince's album covers need to be noted for how perfectly they depict him. I thought everyone wanted to have sex with Prince, regardless of gender, and casually brought this up to my husband years ago, as in, isn't it funny how everyone wants to have sex with Prince? And then I learned I was wrong. That is not a universal sentiment. I love the stories about Prince's love for roller skating and basketball. I know we didn't bring that up, but that's okay.
Yeah.
And then Dave Chappelle's story is fun.
Yes.
Oh. All right. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
For that, those notes. We appreciate that very much.
If anyone has any, if anyone would like to give feedback on this, or any of our podcasts, you can either text us individually or you can send mail to SAB Media Group. That's SABB Media Group @gmail.com. So this wraps up our second episode of this season. A little bit spicy, a little spicy episode. I don't know how you guys feel about that, although I think you both liked it.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah. Loved it.
You like the spiciness?
Best.
Yeah.
I like it when John and I fight and you don't talk as much. It's just perfect.
I think this is pretty much, we'll get feedback and please, you guys fight all the time so we never have to hear Jim's stupid voice. All right. I'll see you guys later. Bye.
See you guys.
Bye.
This presentation has been brought to you by SAB Productions, the home of Real Bad Media. Please visit us on your preferred podcast platform and follow us to stay updated with our latest episodes.